we are in this series called Be Strong and, or Joshua, Be Strong and Courageous. This past week, Kiana and I, that's my fiance, thanks. Now I'm like probably blushing. But we were talking about this idea, this be strong and courageous, and she's been reading through Joshua, and she asked a simple question, and I was like, oh, I'm going to ask everyone that, because I think that's something that we need to talk about. It's this. She said, what are your two words? If Joshua's are strong and courageous, what are your two words that God is calling you to? And I like hemmed and hawed, and I was like, I don't know. And I was like, oh, well, two came to my mind right away. And so I think sometimes when we get asked those questions, we overthink them. Sometimes the best two, like our gut feeling, are the ones that are good. And so my two were connection and encouragement, or connect and encourage. And hers were learning and care. And it was cool to talk about that. So one thing that I would encourage you guys to do right now is to think what your two words might be. And we'll detail it throughout the message so you don't have to decide right now. But be thinking on that, what your two words might be. And so mine are connect and encourage, not because I think that being strong and courageous aren't good and things I want to strive towards, but I think that God has kind of called me to make connections, both with people and with stuff, and also to encourage. And more than just encourage, I feel like he's given me an eye for like details and things like that, which sometimes can actually be used for the enemy's cause if I allow negativity and I allow sin to creep in, or ill thoughts that he puts in my head, then it turns into negative criticism, and or I end up being mean to people, or I am way too blunt when unnecessary. But those are the two things that I think God, if I was to boil it down to two words, those are my two words. So think on what your two words might be. What is God calling you to be? What are the two things that you can kind of disseminate a lot of what you're about and some of your strengths into? So, think on that. All right, who here has a social media account of some sort? Put up your hand. I don't want liars. Put up your hand if you actually have one. Okay, nice. So everyone, pretty much. I'm sure there's one or two people. I appreciate the long handholds. That's awesome. I remember my first social media was MySpace. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. Oh, nice, some giggles. Yeah, it kind of had like a music-y vibe, but you could like design your page to look however you wanted, and it was a little bit emotional. And I remember mine, my background was like black, but it had like tigers somewhere in the pictures. But I remember having MySpace, and then I got Facebook when I was in my, junior year, I think, of high school. I got Facebook, and I thought it was dumb, but I got it. Probably because someone at school was like, hey, get this, and I'm like, whatever. And then when I was in college, in my sophomore year of college, I was on student council, and our student council president, actually, he said, oh, there's this new social media, and it's gonna be the big thing. And I'm like, I don't know, what is it? And he like told all the people on student council and was telling all our leadership team at our whole school about it. And he was like, it's going to be like, this is going to change things. People are going to use it all the time. You're going to write like this really short sentence and everyone's going to read it all the time. And I'm like, that sounds so stupid. You probably are already there, but it's Twitter. And I was like, Twitter is the dumbest name ever. Why would anyone ever want to write 140 characters? I think they made it bigger now, but why would anyone want to write 140 characters and that's it and be like, oh, check out these fun little clippets. It's like, okay, cool. Quotes, I guess. Oh, I'm glad you ate breakfast today. Thanks, Tim. So I thought it was super dumb, and so did most of the rest of our leadership team. But he was like so convinced, and we went to this conference like the day after he told us all about it, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna tweet at the conference. I'm gonna tweet things." And he was on Wi-Fi tweeting on his like iPod Nan or iPod whatever that one was, the one that looked like an iPhone that wasn't. And so he was tweeting on that, and then I was like, this thing's stupid. I don't know why anyone wants to do this. And he was like trying to pitch it hard to everyone, and nobody was buying in. And then lo and behold, just a few months later, guess who's on this stupid thing called Twitter? This guy. And probably most of the rest of our student council. It was actually really funny. I don't know if you guys remember this. This was before I even had a cell phone. I didn't get a cell phone until my junior year of college, so that's how dinosaur I am. But does anybody remember when you used to have to text a number to tweet something because they didn't have a smartphone yet? Some people had BlackBerry, so they had maybe some other way of getting on Twitter. But I can remember, this guy's name was Will. He was so convinced about Twitter being a big deal, and it was, and it still is. It's a little bit on the decline, but it was huge, and I couldn't believe that it got huge. And I don't know if you guys have been on the Will side or on the majority side in conversations before or in discussions where you've either been right and you've been so convinced about something and everyone else is against you and you're like, no. And sometimes you just end up looking like an idiot because you're wrong. But sometimes you're right and everyone else is wrong, like a group of 5 or 6 people, and you feel awesome. Anybody? Yeah? Sometimes being right feels just good. But probably far more often than not, for myself and probably for most of us, we're on the outside thinking that the minority, the small idea, whatever that thing, isn't the one that's really going to be the one we follow. And today, the story that we're going to talk about with Joshua is where Joshua and his friend Caleb are this small voice, are this minority voice, this voice that is against another group of people. And it shows us Joshua's strength and courage. And so it's from Numbers 14, but let me explain Numbers 13 first. Moses says to these 12 people, he says, one of you from every tribe of Israel, you're going to go into and scout out the promised land. You're going to be spies, and you're going to go in and you're going to take some dirt samples. You're going to get some crops. You're going to go in and see what their cities are like, if they're well defended, if they're not defended, if they got walls, if they don't. And then you're going to report back to us and let us know what we're in for. And so the 12 people go, they're there for 40 days. They get these huge like grape stalks that 2 people have to carry. And then they start to observe the people. And when they come back, they tell everyone, they say, we can't do this. There's these giants there. We're never gonna be able to beat them. They actually look at us like we're grasshoppers. And we feel like grasshoppers because they're just so giant. That's like a grasshopper is this big, and the person's this big, and they're gonna tune us if we try to fight them. And Caleb says, "You guys are wrong. This is a land that God has promised to us, and we need to push into it." But the people of Israel hear this majority voice, these 10 spies. They hear about all the things that bring them fear. And it says this in Numbers 14, verse 1. Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell down on their face on the ground before the whole community of Israel. So this might be a good thing in some contexts. In Numbers, it is a bad thing. It means that God's judgment is about to come over the Israelite people. And it says, two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua and Caleb, tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land and is... And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us to safety into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? Will they never believe me, even after all the miraculous signs I have done among them? I will disown them and destroy them with a plague. Then I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they are. What we see here is that there's these 10 voices and the two voices. One of them wholeheartedly just giving up on God's promise and God's call to their people. And the other two embracing that our God is so big and so mighty and so great that nothing can overcome when we believe in him and trust in him and know that he has promised us this land. And so when we look at our two words, or maybe three if you have a third one, when you look at the two things that God might be calling you into, that might be asking your life to be, because it says be strong and courageous. What does God want you to be? And how can you live into that and be a voice that might not be the popular one? That might be the one that is hard for people to hear. That might be the one that's hard to say. That might be the one that means stepping out of a comfort zone. For Joshua and Caleb, it said that the people wanted to, they thought about stoning them. And what we hear later on in the passage is that Joshua and Caleb are the only two people that when they got out of exile in Israel, or in Egypt, when they left Egypt, they're the only two people who were over 20 at that time that are going to live to see the promised land. God would have greatly or wonderfully gave them the land had they just jumped in to the call of their people. And Joshua knew that. What are the things that God is calling you to be? And how can you embrace those and live into those more fully each and every day? Because it doesn't just take being someone who's strong at something, someone who's good at something, someone who has a natural ability. I'm generally naturally cheery and encouraging. But just being that way on my own, without making an effort, without trusting in God, without looking for God opportunities to engage in that calling, I'm going to wind up missing so much of the way that God wants to use me. We're going to wind up missing the ways that the Spirit is going to work through our words and our deeds and our actions. People end up wandering the wilderness until all of them die, but Caleb and Joshua. We need to be people that are embracing life. We need to be people that are willing to take up our cross, take up this call that God has placed on our lives, and step fully into it. Giving over ourselves and our self-interest for the cause of Christ. And that doesn't mean that you get to never have fun again. And in fact, the most joy possible in life, I am certain, is going to come through embracing this calling. Through embracing who God has called you to be. It's through understanding that when Jesus died for us, when he rose from the grave and he defeated death, that in embracing that, we were able to live this life, this fullness of life, this life that Joshua lived. Joshua lived this life, and it's crazy, like of many Bible characters, most of them have like these moral compromises or character compromise or something along their path that like is formative and changes things. And Joshua is like, seems to be just of stellar character. He is strong in the law, and he is right and true in his trusting of God. How can we trust in God so much so that we stop looking out for our self-interest because we understand that he has our self-interest in mind and has our greater potential and future in mind as well? How can we embrace those few words, not as some way of just like boiling every single person in this room down to two words and that's all you're worth, but in understanding through those two or a couple other words, God has called you into something great to both build up our church, the church, and to spread the kingdom wherever we go. Joshua is someone through the whole time in the wilderness who starts to embrace this charge, be strong and courageous. Moses dies. And right before he died, he said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And he said this in front of all of the Israelite people. And then what we see is Joshua beginning to step into that. And he gets this word from God. And it says in this is from the Message version. And it says in Joshua 1:1-9, after the death of Moses, the servant of God, God spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant is dead. Get going, cross this Jordan River. You and all the people, cross the country I'm giving to the people of Israel. I'm giving you every square inch of the land you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon east to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the Hittite country, and then west to the Great Sea, it's all yours. All your life, no one will be able to hold out against you. In the same way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. Strength, courage. You are going to lead this people to inherit the land that I promised to give their ancestors. Give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you. That's the law. Every bit of it. Don't get off track, either left or right, so as to make sure that you get to where you're going. And don't for a minute let this book of Revelation be out of mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Haven't I commanded you? Strength, courage. Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. Joshua was strong and courageous, and he understood that God was with him every step he took. That doesn't mean he wasn't scared of what was to come. But what we need to know and learn from this is that we need to be people that once we know our call and once we discern our call and when we're spending time with him, because it says Joshua is just rooted so closely to God. Once we know and we spend time with God and we begin to understand the things that he's calling us into, We need to trust him every step of the way, and we need to be asking for opportunity upon opportunity to serve him, to embrace our call, and for the Spirit to move and flow through us as we engage people and we speak into culture and we hang out with our friends. It's not just a natural ability. It's about understanding that God has placed a calling over each and every person here. You probably have a couple words that are running through your head. Write those down. Take some time this week. Pray over them. Ask God how you can be a voice in that area. Ask God how you might be able to use whatever those things are, and it can just be a huge gamut of things. Whatever he is calling you into, ask him how he can use you. I'm going to invite the band up, and we're going to go into a time of prayer. And there's going to be some people at the back. If anybody wants to be prayed for, they would love to pray for you. They're going to be there through the whole worship set. There's going to be some people through those back doors afterwards as well if you want to be prayed for. Ask God what your few words are. What he might be calling you to refine and understand more and spend time with him asking how you can apply those things into your context. Let's pray. God, you are good and we love you. God, we thank you for life in the Spirit. And God, we pray that we would be people that walk by you, that understand that you have placed something in our hearts and in our lives that is pushing us closer and closer to you, some way of serving you. God, I pray that we would be a people that are discerning and that are willing and that are excited. God, I pray today that your calling and your love and your path would be visible and it'd be tangible. And God, I pray that we would be hearers of your voice. God, help us to refine and to grow. And God, I pray that as we step into this week, that we would know that each step we take, you are right alongside. God, you are good, and we love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.